Greetings, dear friends. Today we are continuing our study in the Epistle of James. So whoever has their Bible, please open up to this small epistle and we will continue going through it together. And just to remind us that this short epistle is a very practical one, and it gives us a series of tests to see if we are truly walking in the faith or if we have a counterfeit faith. And it's just practical things that we can test ourselves. And just to review, in the third chapter, we saw that there's only two ways that we can use our tongue. And it is either to glorify God or to curse God. How do we use our tongue? Does it bring glory to God, or does it curse our Lord and Savior? And also, the last thing we looked at was about wisdom. Wisdom, there's two kinds of wisdom. There's only two kinds of wisdom. One comes from heaven, and the other one that comes from below, from the devil that is demonic. And we will see this contrast in James, that there's only either you are for him or you're against him. And today we will see another test of our faith, which is the test of worldliness. The test of worldliness. Are we strongly in love with the world, or do we hate the world because we are in love with God? And there's only two ways that it can go. We can either be friends of the world or friends of God. You cannot be both. So today, let's read this section in James. Let's read the fourth chapter, verse 1 through 10. And we will primarily focus on verse 4. But just to review, let's read all these verses together. James 4, 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So let's meditate on these verses here together. The title of my sermon is, Are You a Friend or an Enemy of God? Are you a friend or an enemy of God? And today, to help us understand this passage a little more, I wanted to look at three main points for us together. The first one is, what does it mean to be a friend of the world? We will look at this in detail, and we'll see who are the enemies of God. And also we'll see, what does it mean to be a friend of God? And the last and most important thing, we'll look at, what are the dangers of being a friend of the world? So we will look at these three points together. So let's start from the first one. What does it mean to be a friend of the world? So here we read in verse 4, it says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So this world enmity, you could say it's hatred. You're either a friend of the world and you hate God, or you love God and you hate the world. So just to remind us that this is not the first time James is speaking about that a Christian cannot be a friend with the world. He mentioned that in the first chapter, when he talks about the true and undefiled religion. Remember verse 27, he says that you need to visit widows and orphans. And there's another thing he says we have to do, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So when he mentioned it, he didn't really dwell on that. He just mentioned it in passing. And now in chapter 4, he opens this subject up to where we can understand what it really means to be a friend of the world. Now, friendship with the world implies a very strong emotional attachment. It does not mean just an occasional stumbling into sin, how we all tend to stumble and then we repent and we feel sorry and we seek the Lord's face to try to restore our fellowship with him. But the word he uses here is this, to strongly yearn to be like the world. So it's a person that says, I want to be more like the world and I do not want to draw near to God. So the word that James uses here for world is cosmos. And it obviously has a very wide meaning for this word, but he does not imply anything physical. James is talking about the evil spiritual world system that is controlled by the devil. So he's not saying that we cannot have any unbelieving friends, because Jesus himself, he was associated with unbelievers and tax collectors, and it was said of him that he was friends of sinners and tax collectors. And we know that Jesus was never worldly because he always drawed near to God. So Jesus was able to influence the people around him towards godliness instead of people influencing him towards worldliness. And we will see that if the friends that we do have, if they influence us to worldliness, then we should not have such friends. But if we are able to really give them, teach them the word of God, if we're able to influence them towards godliness, then this is a very good way that we can have an influence on the people around us. Now, when we talk about not loving the world, the first passage that usually comes to mind is 1 John 2:15. And we all heard this verse very often. It says, 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and three things he mentions here, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but is from the world. So I'm not going to dwell too much on this verse that John says here, but James actually mentions all three of these aspects in these verses here, primarily focusing on the pride of life, because he said God resists the proud. A proud person can never receive God's grace and can never truly draw near to God, because a proud person says, I can do it on my own. So we see that love for the world is absolutely incompatible with love for God. You can either be totally in love with God or totally in love with the world. So we know that pride brings worldliness and humility brings godliness. And we will look a little bit more on this when we get to verse 6. Now let's see, what does it mean to be an enemy of God? And who are the enemies of God? Now we're looking at what does it mean to be a friend of the world. So obviously if you're a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God, which is what James says here. Now just to mention a few of the enemies of God, is the first thing I wanted to mention is any person that is not reconciled with God by default is an enemy of God. Every person that is born has a sinful nature and is an enemy of God, and there's only one means by which we can become friends of God. And let's look at this together, Romans 5:10. This is a very important passage. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, that's all people, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we are sinners by nature, and we are enemies of God. And Paul says here in Romans that there is only one way to become a friend of God, that is through reconciliation with God. So the other enemy of God is one that is closely tied to the devil. I just wanted to mention one story in Acts chapter 13, verse 10. There's a story there about a man named Elymas the sorcerer, and he was perverting the ways of the Lord. He was perverting the things that the apostles were teaching. And the way Paul speaks of him, he says this in verse 10. He says, O fool of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, you do not cease to pervert the straight ways of the Lord. So again, we see that there is an enemy. He calls him the son of the devil. So obviously, if you're closely related to the devil, you are an enemy of God. You're an enemy of all righteousness, as it says here. And also, another enemy of God is one that is carnally minded. Romans 8:7 says that carnality, the carnal mind is enmity with God. So one that has a mind set on the flesh and on the things of this world is an enemy of God. Also, he says the same idea in Philippians verse 3. Paul says, Philippians 3:18, he says, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They are the enemies of the Christ of Christ. And before it says those who are set a bad example, those who walk not according to the way that God wants us to walk. And it says those whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on the things of the world, or worldly things, or the things of this earth. So obviously, if we have our mind set on the things of this world, we are not seeking for that which is heavenly, the things that are related to God. So let's look at the next point here is, what does it mean to be a friend of God? What does it really mean to be a friend of God? So we already looked at this in Romans, that the only way we can become a friend of God is through reconciliation. Salvation is the only means that will make an enemy of God into a friend of God. Nobody is born a natural friend of God because we are all sinful. We have this sinful nature that draws us towards sin. But God says that he gave us a means, which is through Jesus Christ, with which we can become a friend of God. Another verse that's important is 1 Corinthians 2:12. This verse says that you can either have a spirit of the world or a spirit of God, a spirit that comes from God. It says here, 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit from God. So we see that, just like we heard earlier, that you could be either totally for God or totally against God. And here it says you can either have the spirit of God or the spirit of this world. And we know that the spirit of the world leads us to worldliness, and the spirit of God obviously leads us to godliness. Now, to be a friend of God means you have to truly choose which master you will serve. Remember how Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You will either love one, you'll hate one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So again, I wanted us to look at this, that Jesus is saying, this is our choice, whether we are going to be worldly or whether we are going to be godly. This is not some choice. We cannot blame the environment which we grow up in, that I am such a worldly person or I am such a godly person. This is our choice. We either choose to serve the Lord or we choose to love the world. Choose to serve the Lord or we will love the things of this world. And I wanted to just show us in practical ways that everything we do, every decision we make, even as simple as what kind of movie we will watch or what kind of websites we visit, what kind of clothes we wear or what kind of lifestyle we choose for ourselves, these little steps that might seem insignificant at the moment, they either draw us towards God or they draw us away from God towards the devil, towards the things that are not of God. So just in basic things, we might do it one time, we might watch a movie that was not glorifying to God, and that will draw us away from the Lord. And the farther we keep going away from God, we get to the point where we have a huge divide between us and the Lord. And the farther we keep walking in this path, the harder it is to get to come back and repent and start walking in godliness. And we know that a friend of God means that the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, as it says in Galatians 6:14. Galatians 6:14 says that the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That means that the world is supposed to be dead to me. To be crucified means you have to be dead to something. But how does it happen that some Christians just have a tendency to have a desire to follow towards worldliness? If it is supposed to be dead to us, then why are some people worldly? Why do some people draw near to God, and why do some people draw near towards the world? Now, I guess it's sometimes we just, people, by making wrong decisions, they resurrect this life, the world that's supposed to be crucified to us, by trying to be like the world. You resurrect the world and you start following the world. But James says here that we're supposed to resist the devil by taking steps to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Or if we do not do that, he will have a stronghold in our life. And we are supposed to draw near to God. And remember how when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, when he threw the seeds, and one of the seeds that fell, it says the cares of the world choked out. The world did not have any fruit because the cares of the world choked out the seeds, and they did not bear fruit. So we need to see, are we in love with the world, or do we devote ourselves to the things of God? Now, being a friend of God means God will protect you. That means you will be on God's side. Let's look at this for a moment. When we were children and growing up, we all wanted to be on the winning team when we played sports. Is that not right? Nobody ever wanted to be chosen on the team that will be the losing team. But why is it that we end up choosing the side that if we choose to follow worldliness, we choose to follow the team that will lose in the end. But if we choose to follow God, we will be on the team that is 100% of the times victorious. We should choose to follow, to be on the team, on God's team that will always be victorious. Now, Jesus talked about this twice in John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 15 and in chapter 17. In chapter 15, he says this, John 15, verse 13. He talks about here how if the world hates us, that means that we are a true friend of the world. So if the world hates us, that means Jesus loves us. So that's what I mean by that. If we want to be on God's team, if we love the Lord, then God will protect us. It says here in verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And skip down to verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. You notice this right here. Jesus keeps repeating that if you were of the world would love its own. But since you are not of the world hates you, but I love you. He's saying that since you're not of the world, Jesus will love you and he will protect you. He will protect you from the evil one, as he says in the 17th chapter. John 17, verse 14, he says, I have given you them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Notice how many times Jesus keeps repeating that they are not of the world. And what distinguishes them from the world? He says in verse 14, he says, I have given them your word. I have given them my word, that if they abide in this word, the word of God, that means that's what will keep you away from worldliness and draw you, and you will be able to draw near to God. In humility, bow down, and not in pride, saying, I can do this on my own. And either the word of God will lead us, influence us to godliness, or the world will influence us towards worldliness. So let's look at another very important aspect of this discussion here today, is what are the dangers of being a friend of the world? What are the dangers of being a friend of the world? We already mentioned a few of them. And in our previous study, we actually reviewed some of the three of the first verses of this chapter. But just to review and tie it into worldliness, I wanted to read them again. And I wanted to point out to us that there are three things that can happen to us if we become a friend of the world. First, if we are a friend of the world, we fight against others. And we will see that in verse 1. And if we are a friend of the world, we fight against ourselves. We will have an inner conflict. And also, if we are a friend of the world, we will fight against God. And that is exactly what it says in verse 4, that you cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world at the same time. Now, if we are a friend of the world, we fight against others. It says here in verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So the first part of this verse tells us that there are wars. And then we look at even the chapter before, we see that there are people that seek to get their wisdom from God, and there are people that seek to get their wisdom from the world or from the earthly wisdom, demonic wisdom. And we see that there's always conflict between people, that either you will be for, you will love God and draw near to God, or you will love the world and draw near towards the world. And those people will always have conflict with each other. And even those people that, even if there's one person that loves the world and another person, they will always have conflict with each other, because even a person that loves the world, everybody will fight against each other because they seek to please themselves. And everybody seeks to please themselves. Unless you submit to the will of God and please the Lord, you will always please yourself. That's why there's always fighting with others. There's always conflicts. And worldliness leads to these conflicts. And it also says that if we learn to pray for others, we will avoid lots of conflicts, because we even ask for things, but we do not receive because we ask for our own pleasures. But if we learn to pray to the Lord and talk to the Lord about these problems instead of talking about other people, we will also avoid much conflict. Now let's look at the second thing here. If we are friends of the world, we will fight against, you will fight against yourself. You will have this inner conflict. And here it talks about it a little bit. He says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So he's saying there's like an inner conflict. This person that draws near not towards God but towards worldliness, he has this inner conflict. He does not understand what is going on with him. Now, when we looked at the previous chapters, we saw that how temptation starts. If it comes from a thought that comes in our mind, if we dwell on that thought and let it turn into temptation, and then it will also end up turning into lust. And then lust turns into sin, and sin equals death. And we see that it comes from our mind, and it comes from our uncontrolled desires. If we dwell on the things that come into our mind and we let them turn into lust, they will destroy us. And we know that whenever a person that does something wrong, he has a feeling of guilt. And people do not want to have this feeling of guilt, so they cover it up. So they cover it up by fighting, by even murdering each other, by destroying each other. So we see here that they want to cover up this guilt by even killing each other. And we see that when we have pain in our body, like when we exercise, we are running or something, our body says, stop, because you're causing pain. You're hurting my body. You're hurting the body. But guilt says, stop, you're hurting the soul. So people, to cover up this feeling, they say, they start to fight against themselves. They start to grumble, and they start to fight. And it says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask for your own pleasures. You ask for your own benefit. You do not worry about the things that are pleasing to others. And the last thing here is that if we are a friend of the world, we fight against God. We already mentioned this a little bit, but I wanted to point out a few other things here, that if we become a friend of the world, we cannot be a friend of God, because we become an enemy of God, as it says here in verse 4. If you are a friend of God, if you're a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. This is like a choice that we choose to become an enemy of God, because we cannot cause any harm to God, but by choosing to be a friend of the world, we are making God our enemy. And I know that none of us want to be an enemy of God. So what is the choice? What is the choice here? What is James calling us here to? And we will get to that in just a moment. Let's look at another word that he mentions here, is verse 4. He says, "Adulterers and adulteresses." Now he is writing to a Jewish audience. He says in verse 1 that he's writing to the Jews scattered abroad, the 12 tribes. So the Jews will understand what he means when he says, you adulteresses, and adulterers and adulteresses. Now he's saying that not in a literal sense that they did the sin of adultery, but he's talking about spiritual adultery here. So what does it mean to have spiritual adultery? Now Jesus called the Pharisees of his time, he said, you evil and adulterous generation. So Jesus saw this in the people of his time when he lived on earth, because they committed spiritual adultery. Now when a man and a woman come together, they have a bond because they have a covenant together. Now when one of them breaks this covenant, the trust is broken and one of them becomes an adulterer or adulteress. The same thing happened with Israel when Israel was tied with God through the covenant of blood spilled by the blood of animals. And when they went a-whoring after other gods and idols, God called them adulteresses, adulterers. But James is also referring to Christians here. He's not just talking about the Jews from the Old Testament. He's saying, you adulterers and adulteresses. He is writing to the New Testament. How is that related to a Christian? Now, if a man is bound together with Christ and he breaks this bond by saying, I would rather serve the world, because a person that chooses to be worldly, he's saying, I do not love Christ as much as I love the world. And he chooses to be worldly, which is you're breaking the bond that is made, that you were sealed with the blood of Christ. And none of us want to be worldly, but how does it happen that some of us tend to be more worldly than others? And we see that in verse 7 through 10. We see that God says here, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now we could speak much more on these verses here, and maybe next time we will dwell on them a little bit more. These verses here is exactly what I was trying to talk about, how either you are going to be worldly or you're going to be godly. It says here, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If we do not draw near to God, we will by default draw near to the world. So there's no middle ground. You cannot be somewhere in the middle in this respect. You either will be totally devoted to God or totally devoted to the God of this age, which is the devil. And Jesus says, you're either for me or against me. He says, there's no middle ground. Just like we've seen so far through all these chapters, we see that you either use your tongue to glorify God or you use it to curse God. That's why when we were looking at this topic here of worldliness, we saw that there's no middle ground. You will either totally reject worldliness and draw near to God, or you will, if you do not resist the devil, you will by default you will draw near to the devil and you will become more worldly. Now the biggest danger of being a friend of the world is the next thing, and I really wanted you to focus on this and pay attention, because this is probably the most important thing that I would like to say this evening. If you are a friend of the world, you give up your only chance for forgiveness. You give up your only chance for forgiveness, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We already looked at verses that say that there's only one way to be reconciled with God, that is through Jesus Christ. And if we do not reconcile ourselves, if we are not reconciled by accepting the blood of Christ, we remain enemies of Jesus Christ. That's why God will never give his grace to the proud, because they say, I can do this on my own. I will try to do good deeds. I will try to do something, but I do not want to accept this free gift. But a humble person that comes in humility will say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I have a desire towards worldliness, but I really want to be more in love with God. So please give me this strength to draw near to God and to resist the devil. Now, when we look at this verse here, it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I wanted to point out here that the devil studies us really well, and he knows what things work with us and what things do not work with us. So if the devil can see that a headache on Sunday will keep us from the house of the Lord, he will give us a headache every day. Every Sunday we will have a headache, or if he sees that our children that are misbehaving will keep us from the house of the Lord, our children will always misbehave. So if we say, no, I will not submit to the devil, I will submit to God, and then the devil will flee from us, as it says here in verse 7, by drawing near to God. So let's not give the devil a stronghold in our life by letting him study us and seeing that maybe if I do have a headache, even if it's hard to sit in church when I have a headache, but I will be here and I will study the word together, and this will not give the devil a stronghold in our life. Now, in conclusion with what we've heard so far, it says, I wanted to point, the last verse that we read is verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. We want God to lift us up. We want God to do things for us, but he says, you humble yourself and at the right time, God will lift you up. God will keep you from the devil. Just like we read in Jesus, he says, not that Jesus wants to take us out of the world, but he says, I will keep you in the world. I will keep you from the evil one. And just like a ship that is sailing on the ocean, the ship can be on the water, but if there's a hole in the ship, the water will start coming into the ship, and that's when the ship will sink. So there's nothing wrong with us being in the world, but if we let the world control us, if we live for the world, that is when the problems come. We need to draw near to God, and he will draw near to us, and we will be able to serve the Lord together. Now let us pray about this. Let's really think about this, because this is a very important subject about the receiving the grace of God. And if somebody here is truly worldly and can see that they need to change, we need to change because you've gone so far in the worldliness, then today you can come and repent, and you could start all over, and you will start drawing near to God. So today is an opportunity for us to pray together to ask the Lord to give us strength to not live worldly lives, but to live for the Lord. And let us pray together. To God be the glory. Amen.